Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Joe McGee here, talking about the heroes of faith. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, we've got more stories than you can imagine. God loves to show off. God uses the weak things of the world to confound the strong, the poor things to confound the rich. God is a showing off God. He's just trying to find somebody to make himself available. So we have these stories, and we've been talking about Moses leading the children out of Egypt, going to the promised land. For 400 years, they've been slaves. They didn't have anything going on. Man, they've been beaten. They've been abused. All of a sudden, they cried out to God. A woman gets pregnant. 9 months later, she births this baby called Moses. But then Pharaoh makes a law and wants all the babies 2 years of age and under dead. The devil knows that God's been born. He's trying to kill him before he grows up. She hides him in a basket, floats him down the river. Pharaoh's daughter, that could not have a baby, finds the baby and claims it as his own. Then Moses' mother steps up and says, "Hey, I noticed you've got a baby. I lost my baby," and she's telling the truth. She did lose him. "I lost my baby, but I'm full of milk, and I can nurse that baby for you." So Moses' mother became the surrogate mother in Pharaoh's court, nursed her own son, cared for him, and raised him up. She lived there. And then Moses was trained up by Pharaoh to be one of his sons. And it is an amazing story. So we're going to pick up in Exodus chapter 15 today, talking about the trip. We've gone through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army has been drowned. They've seen a great victory. They've made up a song. Moses taught them a song, and they've been singing how the river was split, and Moses, the Israeli army, has had victory, and the Egyptian army was drowned in the sea. So, if we Exodus chapter 15, around verse 22, it says, "After the Israelites had celebrated their great deliverance from the Egyptian army, they began their march across the wilderness to Ashur. The country was not like the land of Goshen. There were no waving fields of grain, no grassy pasture land for their flocks and herds. And by the time they came to camping place called Marah, how thirsty they were. The cattle needed water. The sheep needed water. Everybody's hot and tired. There are no trees. It's long and it's hot. Man, we can't even sweat anymore. We've sweated out everything we had in us. And Marah, the Israelites were happy to find a spring of water. But when they tasted the water was so bitter they could not swallow it. Again, they were ready to blame Moses for their troubles. What have you done? What shall we drink?" they said. "Man, we don't have there's no McDonald's, there's no Arby's, there's no place getting bottled water. What have you done to us?" Moses also was thirsty. He felt sorry for the people. He cried to God for help, and God told him what to do. Now, guys, here's a pattern. Every time you need help, Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full." You got to ask. People say, "I'm not going to ask." Well, you're not going to get anything if you don't ask God. So now, Moses almost thirsty, so he told him what to do. "Near the spring grew a tree. God told Moses, cut the tree down and throw it in the spring. When Moses did this, the water became sweet. The people drank deeply, man, they're guzzling it down, and they were satisfied. And there was plenty of water for the cattle and the sheep also. God wanted to teach the people to trust him for help when they needed it. When troubles came, he said, "Listen, if you'll do what is right in my sight, I'll be with you. I will be your healer." From the camp of Marah, the Israelites moved until they found a beautiful grove, palm trees, the 12 wells of water. The name of the place was Elim. Here the people pitched their tents beneath the trees, drank from the wells. How glad they were to find such a pleasant camping place in the wilderness. Well, starting in chapter 16, now all of a sudden we got water. We're starting to get hungry. The Israelites enjoyed the rest of Elim, but the cloud of God's presence lifted and began to move slowly ahead. This was the sign that God knew the people wanted to be led on further for their journey. Taking down their tents, they moved on and they followed the cloud because they realized we got to go with God. We can't stay here by ourselves. Now, they were in a great desert country between Elim and the mountain where God had spoke to Moses from the burning bush. The country is called the Wilderness of Sin. like, you know, I've been through this with my own kids. When you're trying to teach your kids, you realize something. Line upon line, precept on precept, here a little literally. You'll never teach your kids all about God in one conversation or one Bible story. You got to repeat it over and over. Why? You grow a little at a time. So children of Israel, like fretful children, begin to find fault with Moses. You know, you're a mess. Your brother Aaron, you're a mess. First it was one thing and then another. There was little food to eat in the great wilderness, and they grew hungry. And they forgot how much they had suffered in Egypt. They forgot how many times that God had helped them, got them out of trouble. They only knew how hungry and unhappy they were. They thought, oh, man, we're hungry, we're unhappy. We wish we had never left Egypt. Here it comes again. Everybody in their whole lives, always the devil tries to get you to go back. God's grace is new in the morning. God's mercy is new in the morning. There's nothing on yesterday morning. God's not in yesterday. God's in your future, not in your past. Stay out of your past. But that's where the devil's always trying to take you. So they started to say, we wish we'd never left Egypt. There was plenty of meat and bread. You brought us into this wilderness to die of hunger. You've actually brought us out here to kill us. I'm going to starve to death. Now, how it hurt Moses to hear the people complain. God heard them too, and he told Moses, the people are sinning against me when they find fault with you for leading them out of Egypt. I'm not let them die of hunger. I want them to know that I am a giver of all their blessings. In the evening, I will send meat to them. And in the morning, I will give them bread from heaven. And then in the evening, quail flew into the camp. Have you ever been quail hunting? I love to quail hunt. You know, and all of a sudden, you see one, but man, all of a sudden, there wasn't 100. There were thousands of quail flew into this camp. The people had them for meat. The next morning, it looked like a white frost had covered the ground. They said, what is this? The people asked. They looked out at their tents. In their language, the words man, manhu, meant, what is this? So they said, they're starting to wonder, manhu. And it became manna. They became the manna. They said, manhu, what is this? Manna. So manna actually means in Hebrew, what is this? Well, let's call it manna. When the sun grew hot, the manna melted to the ground. Moses told the people that God has sent this food to be their bread. Go and gather it, he said. Get as much as you're going to need for today. Do not keep any for tomorrow. God sent a fresh supply every day. Each morning he would cause the bread to fall on the seventh day. On the sixth day you must gather twice as much as usual. What is left over you keep for the seventh day. And it will not spoil because God wants you to keep the day holy to do no work. So Moses' word rushed out to the people. They gathered manna from the ground. They made it into cakes. How good it tasted, like wafers made from honey. This wasn't just your normal bread. This is some really good stuff. Now, the name, some of the people did not obey Moses. They tried to keep manna from one day to the next, but the bread spoiled. Some did not gather twice as much on the sixth day, and then on the Sabbath, they found no manna. Except on the Sabbath, God sent manna to the Israelites every morning until they reached the land of Canaan. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're going to have food. What kind of food? You've never seen this food before. You're going to have plenty to drink. Where's it from? I'll have water wherever you should end up stopping. I'm going to send the pillar of fire, the cloud to protect you from the sun. I'm going to supply with food. I'm going to supply with water. Every day on that trip from leaving Egypt to the promised land, God's trying to teach him something. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll supply all your needs. You're going to be blessed. He's trying to get him to trust him. So in Exodus 17, leaving the wilderness of sin, the Israelites came to a place called Rephidim. Here again, a cloud stopped as a sign that they should make camp and rest from the journey. But the people began to complain at once. Although God was sending them bread every day, now he led them to a place where there was no water. How thirsty they were. Instead of asking God to help them, the people complained. Instead of thanking God, praying to God, asking God, you start talking to other people. Man, God's no good. Man, he's left us out here. He's going to let us die. They start complaining. Did you bring us out of Egypt to let us die here of thirst? They said to Moses. Moses asked God, what shall I do for my people? They are so angry with me, they're almost ready to kill me. The Lord answered, take the elders of Israel, go to Mount Horeb, and when you strike the rock with the rod that he lifted up when the Red Sea parted, when you strike the rock with a rod, water will come out and the people can drink. Moses did just what the Lord commanded. When the elders went with him to Mount Horeb, there was no spring or rivers inside. But when Moses struck the rock, a stream of clear water flowed out down the mountainside and into the valley. The water ran, and the people hurried to drink. Because the people did not trust God for help, Moses was ashamed of them. He scolded them for doubting God. He said, man, you got to start trusting God, guys. Now, in chapter 17, before it closes, they've complained, God's delivered. They've complained, God's delivered. They've complained, God's delivered. They keep thinking, man, we're just looking for some food and water. Well, things got a little nastier. All of a sudden, God's getting ready to, he's going to show them something. They got to start trusting him for bigger things, not just food and water. So in Exodus 17, verse 8, in the country there lived a people called the Amalekites. When the Israelites camped at Rephidim, the Amalekites attacked them and tried to steal their goods. Moses chose a brave young man named Joshua to lead the Israelites against his enemies. Moses told Joshua, choose men to fight the Amalekites tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill, and I will have God's rod in my hand. Well, the next morning, Moses, Aaron, and Hur watched the battle from the hilltop. Moses stretched out his arms toward the heaven and asked God to help his people. In Moses' hand was the rod that he lifted up over the Red Sea when it divided. At first, the men of Israel drove the enemies back into the wilderness. Then Moses' arms became very tired from holding up the rod. And he starts to, his arms fell down from his sides. When that happened, the Amalekites turned around and drove the men of Israel back. Moses lifted the rod toward heaven again, and the Israelites began to win again. Aaron and Hur found a large stone for Moses to sit on, and they stood beside him on either side and held up his arms all day. At the evening, when the battle was over, Joshua returned to camp with his men. The people knew that God had helped them and drove out the enemies. And thanks to God, Moses built an altar at that place. You know, one of the things I realized when I was years ago, I was teaching, taught chapel every day at a Christian school for 10 years. So 171 days a year, I got a class that I have called Biblical Worldview. And people said, where'd you get all your stuff? Well, I started in Genesis, went to Revelation 10 times. Genesis to Revelation 10 times in 10 years. People said, where'd you learn the Bible? I said, oh, I went to a real good Bible school. Went to two of them, matter of fact. And I learned a lot. But I learned the Bible from a children's Bible storybook that I bought in a bookstore over almost 50 years ago. And I realized something. You just go through the Bible one story at a time. It is so encouraging. God forgives. God redeems. God supplies needs. God heals. God saves. God leads. God gives rest. God gives peace. It's just God's good all the time. He's just looking for somebody to trust him. And so once we got out of the Red Sea thing, you know, we're going now, we're on a trip. Well, we're good, man. We've been delivered. Our enemies are dead. Happy, happy are we. We're singing our song. Then all of a sudden, they realize something. Man, we ain't got no water. We're going to die of thirst. Man, God has brought us here to kill us of thirst. The same God that just delivered you from the largest army on the face of the planet, that's the God? God killed the biggest enemy on this planet, and now you think he's going to kill you from thirst? What kind of people are you? And so once God did that, you got the water. All of a sudden, he realized something, threw the tree in the bitter water, and water became good. Well, then, 2 days later, they're hungry. God brought us here to kill us. He's going to starve us to death. The same God that delivered you from the most massive army that was ever existing is the same one's going to try to now kill you from hunger? What kind of people are you? And so now they finally got some food. They got some water. They've been delivered from the Egyptian army. Well, now the Amalekites attacked them. And so Moses said, hey, God's going to give us victory. And as long as he kept those hands lifted up with that rod in it, they had victory. But he became tired. Well, God's trying to teach us something. Nobody does anything by themselves. Nobody does anything by themselves. You need help. Two are better than one. Throughout the Bible, two are better than one. Even back in Genesis, God said in Genesis 18, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper. I'll make him a helpmeet. And that's why you have a spouse. That's why you have friends. And that's why don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. That's why fellowship is so important. You need to hang out with people. Get to know people. Be a blessing to people. Leave everybody better than you find them. The Bible says you and I are the salt and the light of this planet. So every story in the Bible is a reminder of what Jesus taught us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How to be a servant. Go the second mile. Give your shirt and your coat. You cannot outgive God. The more you try to give, outgive God, the more he's going to bless you back. It's like sowing seed. God will give back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will God give back into the bosom of those that give? And so throughout the Old Testament, Israel's trying to learn. You know, we're trying to learn this thing. God's told us every time we do what's right, we get blessed. When we sin, bad things happen. So we need to, I used to tell the kids all the time, since sin has death attached to it. Don't sin. It's got death attached to it. Do what's right because it's right to do it. Don't do what's right because somebody's looking at you. Do what's right because it's right to do what's right. So as we go through these stories of Moses, especially going through the wilderness headed to the promised land, God's trying to get them to trust him. Please, trust me. It was God that sent the bitter water and the no water and the no food and the sun. He said, I'll do whatever you need. I will supply it. And they still can't hardly get it in them. God said, I'll supply all your need. Quit doubting me and trust me. And that's what God wants us to do today. So whatever you're going through right now, trust me, whatever you're going through, God's already made a way out. Nothing's ever come upon us that God did not see coming before we were born. God saw me before my mother met my father. He said everything that ever came on me, God's already made a way out. Whatever you're going through, there is a way out. God's already supplied it. Just get quiet and listen to it. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.